Right, Father, I desire, Christian Hall, that when you look down from heaven to heart and you are looking for a man like Abraham whom you can trust and who will lead his home, Lord, you will find me. You will find me. Christian home. I am married. Help me to run a Christian home. Help me to run a Christian home, that I will be Christian indeed. My spouse will be Christian. We will reign godly, goodly children. My generation will serve you forever. I am single. Lord, I desire a Christian home. That we will, in your will, run a Christian home. Thank you, Abba Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Say, Lord, amen. To every sick home, I declare healings. To every home with boils and pains, I declare peace. I declare peace. I declare peace. To every home that is already tear apart and broken, I declare restoration. On site, online, I declare restoration. Thank you, Father. Please be seated. Yes, we are in our season of harvest, I hope you know. Glory to Jesus. So, in a season of harvest, something is very important as we have come to our second Sunday this month. So, we are looking at, this is our first Sunday, Family and Relationship Sunday. So, in this time of this season of harvest, to look at something critical. And this is the mind of God for us at this time. Listen, unguarded tongues in the time of harvest will lead to unimaginable destruction or damages. Unguided tongues. In the time of harvest, will lead to unimaginable damages. You won't believe it, that what led to those damages or to the damage is actually unguided tongue. So, it is important this time we look at this issue, guiding our tongue. So, I titled this message, Speaking Well. Speaking Well. When you speak well, it will be well with you. Just as you speak well to situations, to yourself, to others, then it will return to you. Because word are seed. What you speak to and of others, you will harvest it. It will return to you. So this time is important we look at how we can guide our tongues so that it doesn't bring destruction despite the harvest. An obvious situation in the time of harvest is change in status. You get it? Once harvest comes, there is a change in status. Something changes. There is blessing. There is increase. And blessings without maturity, we produce pride with unguided attitude and loose tongues, which will, of course, end in destruction. So our focus is the family of Nabal and Abigail. 1 Samuel 25. Let's read a bit of the scripture. First Samuel 25. Actually, the entire passage captured the whole story, but we just speak from verse 6 down to maybe 13. Now David speaking here, thus shall ye say to him that liveth in prosperity, peace be both to thee, and peace be to thine house, and peace be to all that thou hast. And now I have heard that thou hast shearers. Now thy shepherds which were with us, we ought them not, neither was their ought missing unto them all the while they were in Carmel. Ask thy young men, and they will show thee. Wherefore, let the young men find favor in thy eyes, for we come in good day. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh to thine hand unto thy servant and to thy son David. And when David's young men came, they spake to Nabal according to all those words in the name of David, and ceased. And Nabal answered David's servant and said, who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shearers and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be? So David's young men turned their way and went again and came and told him all those things. And David said unto his men, guard ye on every man his sword. And they guarded on every man his sword, and David also guarded his own sword. And there went up after David about 400 men and 200 abode by the stuffs. Let's just stop there. And what were they going to do? Where are they going? They are going to the house of Nabal, a man who do not know how to speak, even though he's a man who live in prosperity. But you see, there is something the Bible called, even though the Bible calls something a prosperity of the fool, you know, when people are honed by their fool. When you allow what you want to own you, that's foolishness. When you allow what you own to own you, it is foolishness. So this man have what we can also describe as the prosperity of the fool, because what he owned now owned him. He doesn't know how to speak. He spoke roughly. And David was also out to destroying him. And except there is another person, an intervention from another person who knew how to speak well and then pacify this anger, that day Nabal will have died. And in a way we cannot explain, the intervention that came that day for Nabal, even though he died about 10, 11 days after. But you see, the intervention that came, you know, that day happened to come from his wife. And, you know, it's a whole surprise that a man who doesn't know how to speak is gifted with a woman who can speak well. Let's learn to take advantage of one another's strengths. Believe me truly, things you don't have and you are looking for, if God has helped you, you marry in the will of God. Honestly, that strength is in your spouse. Honestly. It's in your house. You don't know it. And may your eyes see what is in your house that you need. Can I hear your louder amen? I say, what you need that is in your house, may your eyes be open to see it. You remember the son of the prophet who died and then the debtors came to recover money owing. And then the wife ran to the prophet. Oh, please help me. The debtors have come. And what solved that problem was in the woman's house. And it also means that it is in their house. It was That oil is in the house when that man died. So I pray for you. What you need that is in your house, may your heart be open to see it. In the name of Jesus. What you need that is with your spouse, that is with somebody very close to you, that is in your family, may you discover it very soon. May you not discover too late. In the mighty name of Jesus. Number 1 point. Words are swords with two edges. It can save and it can also destroy. Words are swords. Every word is a sword. There's a saying in Yoruba, they say, Pele ni ako. You can say Pele and it comes with two sides. Every word spoken has two sides. So depending on how you present it, what matters about word is presentation. Together with your body language, they can ask you to say Pele and they say, one thing is Pele. And then that Pele you have said will become the beginning of another trouble. The fellow said, everybody is up Pele. So word shouldn't be used for destruction, not for the destruction of anyone, including your home, including your health, including the life of your children. Mind your usage of words. Watch your body language. Don't let your word go this way and your body language is negating what you are saying. Word has sword. It can actually destroy, but it is not meant for destruction. At the beginning, word is meant for building, to build up. God used words to build up, to build the world. So use word to build up yourself. But we have seen word being weaponized. In fact, at the foundation of every war, go and check it, whether the present going on in the Middle East, going on in Europe, all over the world, and even in the past, World War One, World War Two. You know, at the beginning is unguided words. Somebody think is so powerful, is untouchable, and then releases unguided word. Then another fellow, the other side, took offense. That spark reaction, spark fire. So you can actually use your word to save yourself. It's a sword with two sides. Learn to present words to save yourself. Even when you can fight, use word to choose your battle. Is somebody listening? Even when you can fight, what do? Use word to choose your battle. You don't have to fight every battle. I tell you, nobody fight all of their life and be able to build anything. If there is anything that hindered David from building, God said, your hand is full of blood. You can't build. You can't build. Builders look for way to reduce numbers of walls around them. That's one wisdom about builders. So if two people married have the same mindset as a builder, you choose your wall. You choose your war. Because you know you are in partnership, building something. Not just for yourselves alone, but for posterity. For your generation to come. So you don't want to do something today that will cause destruction for what you are building. So others look at you and they try to take advantage of you, thinking it's gentle, we can take advantage of you. No, but you are wiser. You are choosing your battle. You are building for the future. You are building for your generation. On the two occasions, David had the opportunity to kill Saul, and he chose not to kill him. On the two occasions, go and read it, he chose his war. Even though he had the opportunity to kill Saul, he was saying, "Oh Lord, my king, why are you chasing after a dog?" He was still referring to himself as a dog. I am nobody. I am nothing. And by the time he will finish those words, the king will cry and say, "Oh David, my son, oh David, my son, with the way you are going about your battle," because it's a battle. Are you with me? With the way you are going about your battle, you are going to become a king. May how you live your life help you to prophesy your own destiny fulfillment. And may God also use your enemy to prophesy the fulfillment of your destiny. Hear this, my number 2 points before we look at how to speak well. How to speak well. Take note of the second point. My first point is words are sword. Secondly, don't make it difficult for people to speak to you. Don't make it difficult for people to tell you the truth. Stop being offended when you are confronted with the truth. Why should you be offended when you are confronted with truth? If truly you are a lover of truth, don't make yourself unreachable. That was the problem with Nabal. The servant said, "Nobody can speak to him. What will destroy a man is coming. Yet nobody can speak to him." May you not be at that position. That people will say, "Efile, leave the fellow. Leave the fellow. May you not get to that point. I say, may you not get to that point. Please, don't make it difficult for people to speak the truth to you, to reach you with truth. Even when it is hard to take, make yourself accountable. Submit your life to people who can guide you in the way and the will of God. Nobody can reach Nabal. Nobody. In fact, by the time his wife was going to David, she didn't tell him. If you have such a spouse, please don't stop praying for them. Are you with me? Don't stop praying for them. Don't give up. Don't stop praying for them. But look at Nabal, very accessible. The servant could have go to Nabal and say, "Sir, this is the matter. Those men who came to you, actually, that is the truth." I mean, David said, "Ask your men. If you want to find out, if you want to verify, ask your men." But you see, it's as if we had issue with David. If one thing you must learn to separate, if you are going to speak well, is ability to separate people from issues. Did you get that? If you will learn to speak well, it is very, very important you learn to address what is the matter. Because the matter is the real matter. Separate persons. When couples have issues, and then you begin to bring in persons, your persons, into the matter, such that you are no longer addressing the matter, you are now addressing yourselves, then you take what will now happen, you take it beyond yourselves, then you take it to your immediate and extended family. Are you getting me? That's what happened. And when that happened, even after you as couples, you have settled the matter, your family you have brought into that matter when they were not there, they will not forgive either of you. Did somebody get that? If the wife now decides to bring the husband's father, that is the way your father also behave, or the man also look at the wife and say that is the way your mother also behave, by the time the two of them settle, the mother of the wife will not forget what the man said. So you complicate matter. Learn to separate issues. Deal with issues. Then it will help you to address the real thing. And then you will save yourself, speaking what you ought not to say. Now, how do you speak well? If you must speak well, this is important. There must be a well of love in you. A well. Because everyone speaks out of the well that is inside of them. You speak from the abundance of your heart. The mouth speaks of the abundance of the heart. The mouth speaks of the abundance of the heart. So every man's word is an expression of who they are. Don't tell me, okay, Lara, that's why you said what you said. And then you are now eating your word. And you remember that only dog eat their vomit. So whenever, you always, when you find yourself eating your word, you eat your word, you regret what you say, you are always, I am sorry, because of unguided word. That's the life of a dog, actually. Always eating your word. But I tell you, you can decide to stop it today, such that when things happen, and you know that you are about crossing your emotional stability, you just depend on Holy Spirit. In fact, when things start to happen, something is boiling, something is cooking, say, Holy Spirit, you are just whispering it. In fact, the next person closer to you is not hearing what you are saying. Your mouth, your lips is not moving. You are praying a kind of prayer that Anna prayed, You are communing with the Holy Spirit to help you, to give you strength, to give you word. At that moment, I'll tell you, if you really depend on the Holy Spirit, it will teach you what to say. In fact, people who knew you before that time, they will look at you and they will tell you, you have changed. Something have changed inside of you. We can see it. You have changed. This is not you. And may people say that concerning you. Say louder, amen, if you desire it. So there must be a well in you, and that well must be well of love, well of life, well of gratitude. So you give it out as you speak, and others will drink from it. You also drink from it. Let's quickly look at Proverbs chapter 13 before we look at about 4 or 5 points on how to speak well. Proverbs 13. Are you being blessed at all? Are you gaining something? Proverbs 13, verse 3. He that keepeth his mouth. Okay, can we read this together? Everybody, one, two, go. Let's go. He that keepeth his mouth, keepeth his life. But he that openeth wide his mouth shall have destruction. That is unguided mouth. There will be destruction. Even in time of harvest. Nabal was in time of his harvest. Greetings to the man who lives in prosperity. He was in harvest. But you see, unguided mouth causing destruction. Did you get that? Unguided mouth in time of harvest. Now, like the scripture asks the question of his prosperity, who will own it? So that is why it's a prosperity of the fool. The fool thinks he has everything. He has everything. I can speak anyhow. I can speak anyhow to my driver. I can speak anyhow to my maid. No. You are not the one who creates people. Even though you pay their salary, you are not the giver of their life. So you don't own their destiny. You only know their today. You don't know their tomorrow. So stop speaking down people. At the other time, somebody mentioned, you know, when we're being led in the opening prayer, we're talking about, you know, this issue of Down syndrome. Can I also tell you this? Stop speaking people to Down syndrome. I mean, you spoke to somebody and that person went down. The joy level went down. The courage level went to zero. You are a wife, you can just address your husband anyhow, and then after speaking to that guy, can I tell you this? Women, in your husband, are two kinds of men. Though in one man, two men. Number one, there is a baby man. And there is a king man. If you don't know how to guide your mouth, you may likely kill the king man inside of him. We will see these things when we get to things you needed to. You must learn to speak to people. So he that keepeth his mouth, Bible says, he keeps his life. But he that is without a guided mouth will surely destroy himself. Let's look at that in other translations. Glory to Jesus. Let's look at that in the Amplified version says, he who guides his mouth keeps his life. Wow. So there is a connection between how you use your mouth and the preservation of your life. But he who open wide his lips comes to ruin. Good news says, be careful what you say and protect your life. A careless talker destroys himself. Say with me, a careless talker destroys himself. Say one more time. Say, a careless talker destroys himself. Please don't be careless with your words. Don't be careless with your words. Free Bible version says, watch what you say and save your life. Saying too much leads to disaster. Saying too much. Enough of excessive words. They said, that's all right. You say, no, you must finish. Finish what? Don't finish your word if you don't want your life to finish suddenly. I know that might be hard, but that's the truth. Know when to stop talking. 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 Don't say everything. Only fools speak out their entire words or what is inside of them. Easy to read says, people who are careful about what they say will save their lives. But those who speak without thinking will be destroyed. So you bring thinking into your saying and you save your life. Did you get that? Bring thinking into your saying and save your life. Okay, let's look at the TPT translation. It said, guard your words and you will guard your life. Guard your words and you will guard your life. But if you don't control your tongue, it will ruin everything. Words are swords. It can destroy everything you have built over the years in 1 second. So watch it. Let's look at another. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Ephesians 4, 29. Are you learning something? Speaking well. Let me tell your neighbor, speaking well. Turn to another neighbor. Say, learn to speak well. And it shall be well with you. Ephesians 4, 29 says, Message translation. Let no foul or polluting language, neither evil words, nor unwholesome or worthless talk ever come out of your mouth, but only such speech as is good and beneficial to the spiritual progress of others, as is fitting to the need and the occasion. Did you get that? The occasion, the matter at hand, not the person, that it may be a blessing and give grace, God's favor to those who hears it. So let your word be a blessing to others. KJV says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. So let's quickly look at how your words, how can you speak in such a way that your word will minister grace to those that hears you. Hallelujah. Number one, speak honor. Speak honor. To everyone you open your mouth to speak to, speak honor. To your spouse, to your children. One of the ways you can speak honor to your children that they will learn honor is appreciating them when they do anything. Appreciate them. Hello, son. Hello, daughter. Can you get that thing for me? And they are back with it. Oh, lovely. You are great. God bless you. That's an honor. Even though to that little child, and that child will be picking something great. Speak honor in your family. Let honorable word go round in your family. You know, there are polluted environments such that if you get there, you hear all manners of polluted word from polluted hearts, and you know that this is a toxic environment. I can't stay here. How many of us understand what I'm talking about? It's just polluted. I can't stay here. I can't stay here. Your home must not be such a place. Your home must not be such a place. And one of the ways you can get that in your home is watch what goes on the screen in your family. Watch what goes on. Because the sound will be released to your home. Don't say we are just watching a movie. No, it's not just a movie. It will create that whole movie, will create a movie in your family, in your home. Imagine you are watching home video and then it's releasing abusive words. You know, things you don't want to hear. And then that sound is being released. I hope you know how powerful sound is. I hope you know that the word we are talking about produces sound. What produces sound? And the sound will take effect. So watch what is being released on the screen in your home. So you speak honor. So as you speak honor, you attract honor. Speak honor, attract honor. Abigail, on her way to meet David, spoke in such a way that David had no choice but to return. Can we see verse 23, 1 Samuel chapter 25? Let's look at it together. 1 Samuel 25. Say to yourself, I will learn to speak well. Turn to your neighbor, please, and tell your neighbor, learn to speak well. God is speaking to us today how to learn to speak well. You are not talking to your neighbor. I say you should tell your neighbor, say, God is speaking to us today how to learn to speak well. So learn to speak well. Look at verse 23. Abigail speaking here. And when Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off the ass and fell before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground and fell at his feet and said, upon me, my Lord, upon me, let his iniquity be. Wow. But you are not the one that spoke foolishly. But if she has not come out to say the matter, she will be destroyed. Upon me, I am taking responsibility. You'll be a good wife when you notice the shortcoming of your husband and you are there to cover. You are not exposing them. You are not exposing your wife's shortcoming. You will save your home. Now, that is not to say you are indulging, no. But you are, in a way, you are trying to save something. And then inside, we will get there, you are learning to speak correction in love. Let's read on. I pray thee, speak in thine audience and hear the words of thine handmaid. This is a Spanish woman. She's calling herself a maid. Let my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal. So is his name. Folly is with him. Somebody you want to beat. The fellow is already beating himself. You just look at the fellow and say, okay, it's all right. Just go. I forgive you. Just go. That is what Abigail was applying here. That was the same thing David applied when Saul was running after him. And Saul was ashamed of himself. So speak honor. It will return to you. It will save you. Words are seed. So what you speak to others and of others will surely come back to you. So when you speak honor, in honor of others, you are also planting your own honor. And you will reap it. In 1 Samuel chapter 18, from verse 1, the Bible says, after David stopped speaking to King Saul, then there was a connection that Jonathan had. Jonathan looked at him and said, wow. Something connected because somebody speak well. May you speak so well before your helpers. The only problem some people have is this uncontrollable mouth. You have prayed for something. Now help come. And then you saw the help like this. Only for you to start opening your mouth again and start saying, what is it? What is it? You can keep it. You can keep what? And then you are back into prayer. God, do it. God, do it. God, do it. But you not shut down your own destiny. Number two, what should you speak? From the well that is inside of you. Speak life and healing. Speak life and healing. Speak life and healing. Don't forget, if you don't have it inside, you can't give it out. Let your world heal a wounded heart, such that it can influence negative actions to positive. That was what Abigail did. Her words stopped David from revenge. Speak healing that can, in a way that it can pacify a wounded heart. Not that you have two people fighting and then the thing was brought to your knowledge and say, if it is me, I won't take that nonsense. And then you spark fire. The fire before was at how many degree now? Let's say 10 degree. Then with what you said, the thing increased, bam, by 50, become 60. Somebody is already saying that's all right. Because somebody came and said, if it is me, I can't take that nonsense. So, speak healing, not destruction. Even when you hear things going on among people, you see, and even when you know that this fellow has done something, again, that is not to say you are indulging people, but you are learning to pacify wounded hearts. Please get this. Learn to pacify wounded hearts. Listen. One of the things a good negotiator does is to create a win-win situation, such that even the one that is wounded and is calling for revenge, you see, will be pacified. I'll say, that's all right. That's all right. We're all winning here. Let's move on. Because somebody knows how to speak well. And when you have this kind of mouth and this word in you, you see, it will bring honor to you. Before you know it, at your age, not minding your age, you will become an elderly, is it elderly state? They call it now. Elder statesman, thank you. You come into honor because you can speak well. Let's move on. Number three, how do you speak well? And all these things you apply in your family, in all your relationships. Speak strength and courage. Speak strength, speak courage. Again, in the word of Abigail to David, in verse 33, she said, David said, and blessed be the advice, and blessed be thou, which has kept me this day from coming to shed blood and avenging myself by my own hands. Because somebody can speak well. He gave David strength to do what is right. Let this describe you. That your word gives strength to the discouraged. This morning, let me say this. While our children are growing, make sure that you become their researcher. Discover them early. Everybody is intelligent at something. Everybody is intelligent at something. Find your own intelligence. So this morning, you know, our daughter, she made her own gele. And of course, that's not the first time she tied gele. All manners of designs. So, and if somebody needs to tie gele for your next occasion, that's an advert somebody is not paying for. So she will make you one that people will ask you, where is this design for? So she made one for herself this morning. And I look at the design. It looks like, you know, I don't even know the shape. The thing is shapeless. You know, and she turned to me and said, "Daddy, look at my gele. Look at my egg. How is it?" I said, "Wow, wow. Give me a high five. Come on. This is good. Are you getting me? This is good." Now, somebody don't tell me I'm lying. I'm lying. I'm not lying. I'm encouraging her. Are you getting me? But that same morning, not too long, while we're coming to church, somebody look at the gele. I said, why is this gele like the ancient, the Yarugos? And by the time I would look back in the car, she had removed it. Are you getting me? She had removed it. I said, what happened? So I quickly understood that what the discouragement somebody spoke made her to remove the thing. Are you getting me? And I said, I trust you. You will make another one when we get to church. And then the next thing is, she gave me a smile. That's it. What am I saying? Discover your children early. Discover people around you early. That will take me to my next, I think probably the last point. Or let me, okay, maybe I should bring that in now. Speak the future. Speak the future. Speak the future to others. Speak the future of others while they are in their presence. See people in their future. Speak their future. No matter how much you know about people's past, save yourself to talk less of their past. Talk more of their future. See people in their future. Then you will make it to their future. When you speak people, you speak to people in their future, you will make it to their future. But if you are the type who always speak down people, you speak of their past, of their mistakes, of how miserable they were in the past, or even in the present, you see, instantly at that moment, they are cutting you off from their future. And you know, many people has made a lot of mistakes. To journey together with people into a great future, just because of unguided mouths, unguided actions. You look at people because of who they are today, things they cannot, you know, do today, their incapacity of today, you talk them down. You can't make it to their tomorrow. That's why even God will speak of us in our future. He said to Abraham, "You will be a father of many nations." Where are the nations? Even Abraham, before he died, he didn't see those nations. He only saw one boy. Is that the nations? Go and read your Bible. I will make you father of many nations. You see the nations? But believe God. The same thing will happen when you speak of future of people. They will believe in you. Because you are speaking
strength, courage for them. They will believe you. When they need encouragement, they will come to you. Nobody go to people who will talk them down. I need strength. You now go to somebody who will remove the remaining one. No, you don't go to people like that. You don't. You see, it happens in families. The man is complaining, or is the woman complaining? My husband doesn't speak to me. My spouse doesn't speak to me. The last one he spoke to you, what was your reaction? The man came, he needs strength, he needs encouragement. But now you are speaking to him to let him know how miserable he is, how unqualified he is to even be a man, not to talk of becoming your husband. Speak future into people. Do you know the amazing thing that happened to Abigail after speaking to David the way he spoke was that? Look at it in verse 32, 30 and 32. And it shall come to pass, when the Lord shall have done to my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel, that this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offend of heart unto my Lord, either that thou hast shed blood causeless, or that my Lord had avenged himself. But the Lord shall have dealt well with my Lord, then remember thine handmaid. Is she a prophet? She spoke so well. Speaking of David's future. And she made it to David's future. She made it. Immediately Nabal died. David sent for her. And then she became the queen. You see, you can only speak of the future you believe in. When you don't believe in people's future, then you don't see it. You just open your mouth, just speak anyhow. May your eyes be open to see people in their future. In their glorious future. They are not yet there, but your eyes is open to see it. You see, when people make it to the top in life, they don't forget people that they made, you know, they had their childhood together. I think it was one of our former governor here who was, you know, on his way to his hometown one weekend. And then he saw a man along the bush path. You know, his car broke down, and he recognized him to be his former secondary schoolmate. And then he stopped his convoy, met the man. The man couldn't believe it. The man couldn't believe it. What? Yes, I know you are the governor. And the man said, ah, so why can't you come to my office? Your office care. They didn't allow me to see you. Instantly, he told the man, come in, come and sit down with me in the governor's convoy. The man said, what about my car? He said, your car, forget it, they will bring it. But think about it. If they were not a jolly good friend in the past, well, the man will just, you get that, we just zoom off. It was amazing how Abigail was able to make it to the future of David. Because her ability to speak well turned her to a prophetess. So when you speak well, speak into people's future, speak of people's future, you in a way become a prophetess. Even though you are not of the prophets, just because you know how to speak well. I see your future. Even though you are not seeing anything, I see your future. I believe in your future. I see your future. I believe in your future. I see your future. I believe in you. I know you are going to be great. Excuse me. There is no one born of God that is not meant to be great. Hello? So even if you don't know anything about God's plan, about people, but you know that God's plan is that people should be great. Amen? And you are speaking that to people. When they become great, they won't forget the one who always speaks greatness to them. So speak greatness to your children. You see some deficiencies in your children now. They are not up to, you know, the other children that you know. Encourage them. Everybody is good at something. Everybody is intelligent at something. The only problem with our developing, did I say developing or underdeveloped, you know, and I pray we will grow one day. I said we will grow one day. Because even the CNG they are bringing to us now, CNG has been for more than 20 years. I can tell you that for real. Our first car we got about 40 years ago came with a CNG cylinder. A Tokumbo car at that time, 40 years ago, came with a CNG cylinder. Used both petrol and CNG. And before we got it here, according to the issue of the car, it was manufactured 10 years after we got it. So 10 years plus 14. How many years? 24. So more than 24, 30 years ago, some people, some nations have been using CNG. Now they just brought CNG to us. So we are living in reverse. But one day, God will help us from the reverse. We'll get to the front. Glory to Jesus. So what am I saying? Everybody is good at something. The only thing is that when we don't, we are yet to discover people, we look at them as if they are nobody. Everybody is somebody when they are under people who can discover them early. Finally, speak correction. Speak correction. Speak correction. Speak correction. And when you are speaking correction, speak it in love. Again, I have mentioned this again and again today. Don't indulge people's excesses. Don't pamper your children when that child needs a rod of support. Rod is a support for the well-being of a child. Rod is a support. Rod is a support. Rod is a support for the well-being of a child, particularly children that are under age 12. Once your child is above 12, using rod is no longer effective. It's no longer effective. By age 12, Jesus started to move with his parents. He came to public. After his history as a child, the next time we heard about him is at age 12. Then after that time, at age 30. So these are critical age in a child's life. So between age 0 and age 12, you see, it's a critical stage in the life of a child. So when that child turned 12, it is advice, don't use rod. What you should use is rod of what? Word. Are you with me? Rod of what, please? Word. But you see, at that point, the rod of word will not be effective if you have not been using the rod. Please stand to your feet. How do you speak today? I've mentioned 5 points. Can you give it to me? One, I said, you speak what? You speak honor. Take your notes. What do you speak secondly? You speak life and healing. What do you speak thirdly? You speak strength and courage. What's the fourth one? You speak the future. Everyone who speaks the future, they get there.
get there. What's the final one? You speak correction. Speak correction, and you speak it in love. Don't say you are correcting your child with abusive words. That's an abusive way of correcting the child. Don't withdraw rod of support when you need to build up that child. According to Proverbs 29, and when you need to build up a child, according to Proverbs 29, verse 15, verse 17. Can we give thanks to God for his word today? Can we exalt the Lord? Can we exalt the Lord? Can we magnify and glorify him for his word that has come expressly? Give him praise and glory. Oh Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your word. Thank you, thank you. Can we pray that God is going to enable us, that by this understanding we will learn to speak well? That Father, from this day forward, I will learn to speak well. I will 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 speak courage and strength. I will speak life. I will speak peace. I will speak confidence to people. I will speak correction and love. I will speak people's future. I will speak people into their future. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Can you also pray for yourself that from this day forward, I will speak well to myself? Somebody need to learn. Yourself. If you can speak yourself, I am blessed. Begin to speak well to yourself now. I am able. I am great. I am beautiful. I am bold. I can do it. Begin to speak well. I am healthy. I am strong. I'm alive. I will live. I will not die. I am blessed. I am rich and not poor. I am lifted. I am promoted. I enter into my harvest. Speak it. Speak blessing yourself. In the name of Jesus, Jesus, mighty name, right? You talk to your neighbor. We are getting to the point of power and prophecy now. And you talk to your neighbor. I'm going to speak again. To speak in the future of the world. You say, all you come. We need you. You know, to do that. But even when you are to write, it's to pardon. For you, I don't. You don't have a tire. But I see you are gloriously much. But it's one top. If you top, I'm not going to. You see, business is. Business is. I see you. That's because you are mother of nations. You are father of nations. Come and speak. Prepare your people. Speak to your future. So shall it be. In Jesus' name. I just felt we should also speak the future of Christ Possibility Center. I see this ministry in North America. I see it in North South America. I see it in Europe. And I see somebody here, you and your family. You are there as the family God used to carry this ministry there. I see this ministry across the nations of Africa. I see this ministry in Australia, in Antarctica, in nations of the world. In the mighty name of Jesus, begin to declare the prosperity of God over this ministry. Christ Possibility Center, you are enlarged.
You are blessed. Your parents, your children mighty. Your children, we call your children mighty. We call your children great. Your men are great. Your women are great. You are blessed. You are not cursed. Your people are blessed. They are not cursed. In you, no death, no untimely death. In you, no rebellion, no evil. You are blessed. You are not cursed. Thank you, Abba Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. A louder amen. Lift up your two hands before we go to the other part of our prayer. Whatever you have spoken to others, receive it. The future of others you have spoken will happen to you. The good things you have spoken to yourself and about yourself now is materializing. The will of God concerning you is finding fulfillment. Every word of prophecy spoken concerning this ministry, begin to find fulfillment right now. In the future of this ministry, you will not be found missing. You will be there. You will be there. You will be there. You will be there. When this ministry is seated in its glory, you will also sit in your glory. In the name of Jesus, for somebody's business that is not working fine, I declare a turnaround. I declare a turnaround. This is the moment of speaking well, speaking things you want to see. I declare concerning your business, it is working smoothly, perfectly, well. I see your business being enlarged, being expanded in the name of Jesus. I see God bringing unto you super good clients as helpers of your destiny in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I see your business increasing. I see your family increasing. I see your children becoming great. You are blessed. You are healthy. You are not down. You are great. You are standing. You are standing tall. You are strong in your bones. You are strong in your heart. You are strong in your emotions. You are not down. You are strong, fear, discouragement, and above your enemy. What God intends for you, you will become. So shall it be. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Yaso pali pramos ketone baliha. From verse 24, I read. I would like you to take note of this scripture. I had the Lord said to me, and he's saying to somebody, an enemy has done this. 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 And whatever enemy has done in your life, today we have come to stop it by the word of the Lord. Let's read. Another parable spake he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servant of the household came and said unto him, sir, did thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then at it is, he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, will thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. But look at verse 30. Let them both grow until harvest. Somebody say until harvest. And in the time of harvest, say in the time of harvest, I will say to the reaper, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles and burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. So everything that has troubled your foundation, today they shall be burned. So while I saw the smoke the other time, before I joined the service, the Lord has gave me this word. An enemy has done this.
An enemy has done this. An enemy has done this. An enemy has done this. An enemy has done this. Somebody is. You will receive a report that is negative. Listen to this so that it will make you meet you in shock and unprepared. A news will come. It will look negative. Are you following me? But when you receive it, know in your mind, the Lord says what? An enemy has done this. And then he said, in the time of harvest, what enemy has done? I will separate it and I will burn it. Are you with me? So, this is the time of harvest. Amen? That's why you should not be afraid. Are you with me at all? That is why you should not be afraid when you receive any news that is negative. Even when they call it negative. Just know an enemy has done this. Then you have understanding that this is the time of harvest. And the time of harvest is the time for separation. And to burn whatever it is the enemy has done. If you hear me, wave your right hand. Are you sure you heard me? That when you receive a news that sounded what? Negative. So know that this is the time of what? Harvest. So two things happen in the time of harvest. What happened? Number one, there is a separation of whatever it is the enemy have done. Secondly, what will happen to that thing? It will be burnt. So you are going to declare, in the name of Jesus, this is the time of harvest. Whatever it is the enemy has done in my life, now is being separated from me. Be separated. That thing you have noticed in your life, God didn't create. You have tried all your best, but suddenly you just find out that something God didn't create is hindering your growth. There is a growth that is hindering your growth. It will be separated from you today. Say louder amen. Another louder amen. Is it a sickness? I want you to mention it. That Father, that sleeplessness. In the night you can't sleep. Enough. From tonight I'll begin to speak naturally. Sleep like a baby. I will wake up stronger. Every issue troubling my health, whatever it is troubling my marriage, whatever it is that is troubling my business, lack of fund, lack of help, is an issue. I declare a separation from me today, and let there be the fire of God burning into ashes what God did not create with me. Go ahead and declare in the name of Jesus, everything that is hindering my growth, my progress, everything that is hindering my health, be separated from me. Be separated from my health. Be separated from my body. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Be burnt to ashes. Everything hindering my health, hindering my blessing, my ministry, my family. In the name of Jesus. Now I'm blessed. I enjoy my harvest. Begin to declare, I enjoy my harvest. Everything that want to hinder my harvest is separated from my harvest. I begin to enjoy my life. I enjoy my family. I begin to enjoy my spouse. I begin to enjoy my children. I begin to enjoy my health. Amen. Jesus never failed. Amen. Jesus never failed. Amen. Jesus never failed. Jesus never failed. Jesus never failed forevermore. Let's sing amen. Amen. Jesus never failed. Amen. Amen. Jesus never failed. Amen. Amen. Jesus never failed. Jesus never failed. Jesus never failed forever. One more time, amen, amen.
Jesus, Jesus never fail. Amen, amen. Jesus, Jesus never fail. Amen, amen. Amen, Jesus never fail. Amen, Jesus never fail. Amen, Jesus never fail. Forevermore. Stretch forth your hands to the altar. If you are sitting, stand. God is giving you a new foundation. In the name of Jesus right now, whatever it is that has troubled your foundation, that God didn't create with you, but has troubled your foundation, and in fact, it has been troubling your forefathers, and now it's troubling you, it's troubling your life, and it's troubling your marriage. Today, I declare a cease. Let that evil operation cease now. You are separated from whatever it is that is troubling your foundation. And whatever it is the enemy has planted that has troubled you up to now, the fire of the Holy Ghost consume them and burn them to ashes. Whatever it is that trouble you have seen before, that Egyptian, you will see them no more. I declare a brand new foundation in your life. Foundation of prosperity, foundation of peace, foundation of health, foundation of abundance, foundation of favor, of grace and mercy of God. Things are working for you. You have a new foundation. Hear me, somebody. Want to so fun eri o ti gbori won logun ipile lo nja e leni o gba ipile tutun. They have told you before that your battle is a foundational battle. It has to do with the foundation that you were not even there when the thing started. But today, by the name of Him that is the beginning of all beginning and the end of all ends, your home, your marriage, your life is blessed. It's a new foundation for you. It's a new foundation for your marriage. It's a new foundation